Hey everyone, welcome to the Awakening Podcast with Mike Kubiski. That's me and myself, and I am here today with my good friend Taylor Martin. And say hi, Taylor.
What up?
And so this is a brand new episode. Normally don't do a interview, but I feel that God has placed us here to do this interview. And I love doing interviews now. It's a little new for me, but it's awesome. God is here and God is in it. So before we start off, I just want to pray, and like we normally do on the podcast. And so I'll get to it. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time that you have placed us here, Father God, for this interview. Lord, just thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in Taylor's life, Lord, what you're doing in my life as well, Lord. And Lord, just bless this conversation. Bless these words, God, that you have given us to tell the nation, God, to tell the world, Lord. And just bless this time, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen.
So, yeah. Taylor, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling pretty good.
Awesome. Well, so Taylor is a he's an artist. He's a rapper for Christ. And what's Sacred Music Tribe and what are you about and what is God doing in you and through you, man?
So my name is Taylor Martin. I am a Christian hip hop artist out of Seattle, Washington. I've been making music for God and for the Christian audience for about 6 years now. Before that, I used to battle rap, which is wild. But I think I've heard this quote that says something like, we all have a past, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. And I think that's a true thing. So I wasn't raised in church. I was actually raised just doing my own thing, kind of. My dad was out of the picture, and I was living with my mom and my siblings, and hip-hop had an influence on me at an early age. I remember being in a pool, just, like, singing some crazy hip-hop lyrics, and on, like, a little floaty holding its ears and just being really influenced by hip hop at an early age. And I started smoking weed at an early age. I think it was like 14 or so. I was walking the neighborhood with some other apartment kids. And it was probably like five of us. They were older than me, I think, by a few years. And we saw an open garage at the apartments, dark apartment. We go in and somebody busts out a pop can, and we weren't drinking soda. They turned that can into a makeshift marijuana smoking utensil, if I could say it like that. And I didn't get high that day, but soon I did start smoking weed on a daily basis. About maybe 15, I felt like I had to smoke weed to be just normal. And there was times when there was no weed left, and me and my buddies would go to his mom's room, and she had a big makeup bag full of pain pills. And she worked at this hospital out here that's connected to the military base. And somehow she had the finesse or the plug to just like have all these pain pills. And so we found out that these were worth money or trade in value. So we was to go and grab the pill bottles and dump them into our 16-year-old hands and bring it to this house in the hood. This older man, yeah, he was old man, and we'd go in the house. He'd lock it behind us, and he would take these pills from us and give us like a little $10 worth of weed. And so I know it's really sketchy and scary looking back. I like, whoa, this guy could have raped and killed us. But he was on drugs, and I don't know, he's kind of weak, I guess, now looking back. But I ended up getting high a lot and going to school on ecstasy and getting kicked out of school, finally getting expelled for a fight that I lost, and going to juvie for different things. And yeah, my mom finally kicked me out, Mike, to go. And sorry, I'm giving you a long version. I hope that, that's okay. Right.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Okay. And my mom kicked me out to go live with my dad in Tacoma, and I was forced to go to church. And it was at that time when Jesus showed me it was real. And God just exposed me to him, and he exposed himself to me. Awesome. And like, yeah, just showed me that everything was going to be okay at this moment during like the people on the stage were singing to God, what I know now is worship. But yeah, it was just a moment in my life that changed my life when I first met Jesus there. I didn't stay in church. I don't want to give too long of a story, but
yeah, yeah, no problem, man. I love it.
I didn't stay in church, bro, Mike. I was in church for about 3 years. During those three years, this was probably like from 18 to 21. I went to this school in Los Angeles, the Urban Training. This school called the Urban Training Center, where we used to pray every morning, hear a sermon every day, every morning, and then we would go and evangelize or learn like different church leadership skills, I guess. During that time, I get a call from my pastor. He says that my father's actually disappeared and went back to the streets. And so I didn't have anywhere to go. Yeah.
Wow.
So I didn't have anywhere to go as far as like a Christian base. I knew if I returned back to my mom's that I would just be watching inappropriate videos again, smoking weed again, drinking. And I knew, bro, Mike, that when I was with God, that I felt life on a deeper level. I felt more confident. I felt like I had more meaningful relationships. I just felt more invigorated and stuff. And so I knew I didn't want to go back to anything but God and Jesus, even though it's still so new to me. But it still wasn't solely my choice, because if you remember, I was kicked out to go live with my dad, and then I'm living over there, and I kind of wanted to go to this school. I did, but it wasn't solely like my choice all around. But anyways, long story short, I'll just fast forward, and I left church after a couple years, and I ran. There was a gal I met in Los Angeles at that school, and we ended up having a couple kids, and we ran. But before we had the kids, anyways, we ran away from God until about 6 years ago. I just realized how insane I am without Jesus, and how easily I go astray from like moving forward in life and being productive and like just so many things. So about 6 years ago, I just ran hard to Jesus, and I felt like he was pulling me to. I think of this one day when I was on this bridge, bro, and it was like 3 a.m. And had, you know, just done some things I wasn't proud of, and I was just like looking at my life, and I was thinking about my children and how I was not spending any time with them. I wasn't working. I was just smoking weed and drinking. And it was 3 a.m. and I saw this river in Tumwater beneath this bridge I was standing on. And I was like thinking that my kids, might be better with a different dad. Mm. And I was like, maybe I should take myself out of the picture of existence right now. And maybe that would be best for these kids. At that moment, I realized I didn't need like self-help, because I was listening to a lot of self-help stuff. But at that moment, I realized I needed something deeper and more genuine that didn't just have to do with my desires, wants. Like, I needed spiritual help. And I just recalled my time at those churches. And I just recalled Jesus standing alone. And so I prayed like a sincere, sincere God help me prayer. I remember praying something like, God, if anybody could save my family, it's you. Hmm. If anybody could help me not be crazy, God, it's you. And I just prayed that prayer on that bridge, man. I said, God, have your way in my life. Help me.
Hmm.
Because I was going in circles, dude. And I just prayed to God to help my family and help me. And little by little, when I said that prayer, it was like God was pulling me and I was reaching for him simultaneously. Like, I couldn't put my fingerprint on what was the precursor, whether it was my prayer or whether it was God pulling me. Like, I look at that moment as it was like almost like exact same time. It was so weird. That's how I always remember it. And so little by little, God took me off of the pot. He helped me stop watching crazy videos, and he taught me off of alcohol and just got me clean and sober, got me working. And I realized that Jesus is the answer. He was the answer for my family. He's the answer for me. And I've always been like an artist type. I've always been an abstract kind of dude. And I began to just think about rhymes that, were like hand in hand with Jesus and hand in hand with my faith and hand in hand with who I was aiming to be, you know? And so that's how Sacred Music Tribe was born.
Hmm.
I just began writing rhymes about Jesus, about the faith, about Christianity. I used making music as an aim for me to use my time in a God glorifying way, versus watching porn or smoking weed or drinking. I'm like, yo, I want to live my life in a God honoring way. So something that was like stimulating to me and like would like that I could resonate with is like making music for Jesus. And so I began doing that. And I made this one profile pic, and I'll end here. I made this profile pic that it was like somebody made me a logo. There's another good story I could tell about this, but somebody made me a logo, and it was, it said Taylor Martin, and I put it as my profile pic. And then this dude hit me up, and he was like, oh, when God lifts me up, I'm not going to be glorifying myself. And I'm like, that wasn't my point. But I'm like, you know what? I want to do something that's, okay, cool. I want to do something that's like a movement where people could be like, yo, I'm part of this, or I represent this, not just like, oh, I'm with Taylor Martin. You know what I mean? And so that's where Sacred Music Tribe came out. We got like 6 or 7 dudes who's active right now. Some come that's and go, cool. But yeah, it's Christian hip hop artists from the Northwest. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah. You said, so you used to freestyle or rap battle.
Yeah.
Actually, I used to work at the stadiums down there a little bit, sometimes for the Mariners games.
Oh, nice.
I knew a guy who actually rap battled as well too. I don't remember his name, but he had a, like a long kind of ponytail kind of dude, and he had glasses. I don't remember his name, but maybe
you faced him. Was he Samoan?
He was a white guy.
Was a white guy. Long ponytail, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
And glasses.
Yeah.
It's not ringing the bell. I could possibly know who it is, but I can't think about it off top right now.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool, but yeah. So I know that you said you had you have a few kids.
Yeah. I have three children. My son, Dakota, 11, and he's just an amazing kid. He's so strong and smart, and I love him to life. He's just a very bright young kid, and he just started playing basketball. And their team name was the Lions.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's been wanting to play for a while, but there was COVID, and
yeah,
we had moved last time, and so yeah, and he does a little bit of music himself, but yeah, my daughter, she's 7, her name was Courtney, she's the sweetest thing in the world, and she's just my princess, and she's just very, very kind and empathetic. I love her to life. She helps her little brother Blessy, my baby, he's 2, and he's just a miracle. It was one point in time when probably like a year or so ago where he had this crazy seizure.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I don't remember what, or excuse, was it a seizure? Yeah, it was. I don't know what was going on, but his mom was in the room with him, and she comes out yelling and screaming and says, Blessy's having a seizure or something like that. And I see my baby, and bro, he was purple. He was shaking. Oh, I've never seen my baby like that. His eyes were rolling in the back of his head. It was so scary. We called 911. They said they're on the way. But before we called 911, I grabbed the baby like this, and I go and jump in my car, and I'm about to drive. Sitting in the driver's seat. I'm about to just drive like this because my baby looks like he's dying, dude. And I'm praying. Mm. And my son Dakota is the one. Everyone's freaking out, but Dakota, he's like, stone face. He's like just being a savage about it. Just being cool, calm, and collected.
Mm.
And we put him on a towel, and the dispatch on the 911 is like, yo, they're there, just wait. And they said, take off his clothes so he's not hot. And I guess it was from a fever. I guess babies can have seizures from fevers. So my baby Bless is just a miracle. And he stayed alive that day. I rode in the back of the ambulance with him. And actually when COVID first came out, him and I both got COVID together, and we just laid together the whole time. And he's just my miracle baby. He's so sweet, and it just blesses my heart. So yeah, that's my three babies.
Yeah. So man, yeah. Where I first saw you, I guess, I think it was social media, man. Just like out there, and I saw all your stuff that you're doing, and dang, man, I was just blown away. And
that's like, good.
I'm like,
appreciate that.
Dang, I gotta meet this dude. And still got to meet you in person, but coffee or something. But just like,
we got some live events coming up, so come out.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely have to. And like what some of your videos where you'll go up to like you're walking downtown. Like I think it was a recent one. I could be wrong, but you made it. You made the video, but you were walking downtown and you took a mic from one of the guys that was on the street, and you just started preaching and stuff, man. That's awesome.
I have to admit that I didn't show the part where I asked him for the microphone, so I seen them preaching, and I said, you know what? And I don't know what, I didn't know what they were, if they were Muslim or what at first.
Hmm.
And I'm like, dude, you know what? I need to make a video where I'm like, I'm gonna go snatch this mic like Kanye West, you know, Taylor Swift and Kanye West. And yeah, awesome. Just like a fun video like that. And so then I filmed the first part. I'm gonna go snatch this mic like Kanye West. And then I walked up to them and I'm like, hey, I'm feeling like nervous a little bit and stuff. And I'm of course, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, really? I was like, hey. I'm like, hey, yeah. I'm like, hey, can I preach on this mic? It's like, I'm like, I believe in Jesus. I was like, I'm a Christian hip hop artist or whatever I said. I don't know what I said, but
yeah.
Something like that. And then he was like, yeah, go ahead. So yeah, that's the behind the scenes of the video. But yeah, that was a recent one.
So yeah, man. You've really inspired me. So much. Thanks. With all your videos that I've been watching, seeing what you've been doing, man. And I used to actually, a buddy and I used to work at the airport at SeaTac, and wow. He and I kind of started a ministry together. Actually, we called it Contagious Ministries. And we would basically go downtown Seattle to Pioneer Square, and we on Sunday mornings we went to church on Saturday nights, went downtown Seattle at 8 o'clock in the morning, and went down to Pioneer Square and met with another organization called Agape Ministries. There are some Hispanic guys out of Kent, and okay. We would help them, and we would feed the homeless as well as clothe them. And then we would also street preach to them right there in Pioneer Square to the homeless people. And then after we were done, we would come up, some of them would come up to us, and we'd pray for them and everything. And,
nice. That's cool. That's cool. That's a good fishing ground.
Yeah. But yeah, what happened was there was a guy that I knew, well, my brother-in-law, his friend's dad went down there, and he went down with a megaphone and started kind of more like not really preaching love, more preaching damnation kind of.
Oh, wow.
And
how did that go?
Yeah, we yeah, he did it a few times. We were down there, and just like he wanted to be with us when we were down there, and we were like, that kind of broke everything up, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so we just did stuff online, wild. Kind of. We were doing a kind of an online service on YouTube,
and nice.
Kind of like we were kind of doing that first, and then we branched out to Seattle and went back.
That's online, inspiring. So. That's inspiring. So who was doing the service online? Was that you and your buddy?
Yeah, me and my buddy and my wife. And and then well, at the time it was his girlfriend, but they got married. They got married. And
that's gorgeous. That's phenomenal. That's dope. You have to link me, bro. Is the channel still up?
I think so. I'll have to.
Yeah, link me. That'd be cool. I'd like to see that. Yeah. Did you have any of the, did you guys film any of the stuff when you went downtown?
Actually, we may have. I made a kind of like a not like a promo video type of thing or something like that.
Okay. Okay.
And I think some of with my buddy, I think with him in there actually doing it, we actually have a clip of that in there, I think.
That'd be cool to see too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should shoot me that, man. That'd be lit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be dope, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny to think about what you said about the guy was preaching condemnation and what was it? Damnation. And it kind of broke everything up. That's funny. I think you gotta be, I don't know, I'm just one soul, but I think it's like you attract more. What was it, bees with honey or something like that? You know, if you've ever heard that saying. So because I think of genuine relationships that you would have like at work or something, with somebody who is living a homosexual lifestyle or whatever, a Muslim person. Like, Seattle is so diverse, like extremely diverse. I don't know why. I feel like I've heard it's one of the top diverse cities. I've heard that. I don't know how true it is, but it seems true to me. And so when you go into the workplace in Seattle, and probably in these neighboring cities as well, Tacoma and stuff, it's like you're going to run across people from lifestyles from everywhere. And the way that we interact with people is, I mean, we're going to interact with people. We're going to interact with people. And being a loving person and being a kind person, especially if you're somebody who like does have a sense of a calling of God on your life, or you feel like Jesus has selected you to be like an ambassador for Christ, or something like that, or you know that we're supposed to share the gospel, at whatever level you realize something like that and you're interacting with people, there's going to have to be a meeting of, okay, God wants me to share his word. And I also have to be relational here. And so it's like, am I going to tell this person who's in a homosexual lifestyle, oh, gay is a sin, like when the first time I meet him, because I realize he's kind of like, you know, he's a homosexual lifestyle. No, I think I'm going to be genuine. And I'm going to build a friendship there if that's what's compatible between the personalities and things along those lines. And like when it comes time, answer the truth in love. Like if you know, don't hide who you are. Don't hide your Jesus. Like on Friday when Debo came, the guy would tuck his chain in and stuff because he didn't want to get jacked. Like don't tuck Jesus in around people, but couple your love and passion with Jesus with like empathy, extreme empathy for people, because Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. He had extreme empathy. He knows the stuff we did behind the scenes that other people don't know. He knows the thoughts that we still have that other people don't know, that if we posted those thoughts on social media, nobody would come to us for Jesus. I think it's we got to be those loving type of individuals. We can't be like a condemnation, damn it. That's how I feel about it, you know?
I totally agree. I mean, like, I see, like, even like outside, like stadiums and stuff, even like Christian events, you see like these people with the signs are, you know, like, you know, something like
turn or burn.
Yeah, kind of those type of signs. And I'm like, All right. I'm not going to get in an argument with you.
That's wise too. God hates insert people group.
That is just
as fallen as me or anybody else.
Exactly.
You know. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. You said don't get in arguments. Yeah. I think it's that one is like a discernment thing, because sometimes I'm like, okay, don't engage this, but also sometimes I'm like, speak the truth to these Pharisee types, speak the truth to the Pharisee types, or where truth needs to be inserted. So that's with the if you saw the other video when I went to the LGBTQ/pro pro abortion video, which I can just be genuine. I mean, I can be genuine of my past and say that, you know, with my wife, there was a time when we weren't serving Jesus. We're actually going through a divorce right now. So it's pretty much my ex-wife. Thank you. I don't know if you've heard about that or seen any of that.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a time when we went to an abortion clinic. And so, that's another layer of where I have to have a loving and forgiving heart towards people. I'm not the guy who says with the signs, it's like, yo, God hates abortion. I think what's the Bible says, the goodness of God causes men to repent.
Amen. Yeah.
It's the good news, you know? And so, but back to the topic at hand, like when it's time to speak up to, cause you said, don't get in an argument with those guys. Yeah. Sometimes you just know, don't cast your pearls to the swine. Another time it's like, it's like we have opportunities, you know, this interview is an opportunity, you know? And so I appreciate you said, I've encouraged you. This is encouraging me to be able to do this. Appreciate you calling on me. And, but like to speak to that group is an opportunity to share truth and to share love.
is to
share truth and to share love and share Jesus. And, and it's like, if I cower in that moment and I don't go and share truth, who knows what I'm letting into that space where my words of Jesus would have filled. So let me say this the right way.
Sure.
Who knows what, okay. So if I don't share Jesus and God's love, then what else is going to take that place where Jesus's love was going to go and be shown?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a responsibility to speak up, you know, to speak up for truth, because truth, when you speak the truth, there's no, like, when there's no light, what is it? It's darkness automatically, just with the absence of light. And so sometimes it is, but like you said, it's case by case. So you don't want to go up and argue with people who you already know is not going to hear you and not going to listen.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's good to say one thing, and then if they don't listen, dust off your feet, and you, at least you did your part, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of sowed your seed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Sowing a seed. Yeah. 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 And you never know what God's going to do with that.
Yeah. It's true.
You know?
Yeah. I agree.
Cool. Yeah, I think it's also, yeah. So yeah, that's for a lot of things. I think it's like knowing, I don't know, dog. Cause a lot of this stuff is like, it brings me back. I was going to say going for God's will for that situation or going for God's will for that relationship, but it's just wild, bro. Because a lot of it is just like also predestination, I think, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a lot of it isn't even, because I did this or that's right. Just, that don't feel right. That don't seem right. It's even Apostle Paul was like, I am who I am by the grace of God.
Yeah.
You know, so good. Yeah. So I don't know. It just comes back to worship, I guess. You're just like, God, you're God. I'm not. It's just, you know, you just have your way, you know, do your thing, God, whatever you want to do.
Exactly. Exactly. So, let's see. So, yeah. you go to, I've noticed that you go to, church home, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It's a good church. Yeah. Pastor Judah Smith is life changing, man of God. Yeah. Love that. Love that, man.
Cool. Yeah. I used to go to, City Church at the time.
Wow.
At the time it was like, I think that was in 2005. I think it was.
Okay.
I had a situation where, I myself was separated from my wife for like 4 months. And, she wanted a divorce. She had a restraining order against me. She had no contact order against me. And I just, like, for myself, I just felt that God wanted to restore our marriage. And so I was going, that's when I was going to City Church group home at the time. With one of my friends, and
that's awesome.
I lived with him for a while. And
how long were you going to City Church?
maybe a couple months, I think.
Okay. How was it for you?
4 months. What was that?
How was it for you?
It was awesome. I went to the Belltown campus.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they have that anymore. I heard some things that they were getting rid of it, or they did get rid of it.
Yeah. I don't know if they do. I know they have Kirkland for sure. And Pastor Judah only comes like once a month. So besides that, it's like live because they're like, he goes to LA and preaches and then other stuff he does. So he's only in person like once. So sometimes I'll have other speakers or we'll watch something on a screen, which is wild. Everything's like on screens now, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to say I necessarily prefer that, but it's also like, dude, it's 2022, man. You know, that's you can either fight it or go with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's true. But, I go to Seattle Revival. Seattle Revival Center.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I've been there for a long time. And
that's dope. It sounds cool that you were put on staff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. Really neat. I was born into that church, actually. My parents were married. They met as teenagers at the church. And then they got married there. And I had me and later on my brother. And yeah, that's the church we went to. And
Wow. So you were raised in church?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. That's so beautiful. What kind of effect or impact do you think that had for you to be raised in church?
Yeah, for me is like really impacted me because when I was little, I would in my neighborhood, I would preach to my friends.
And, that's fire, dude.
I would put on like plays in my backyard, like passion plays of Jesus dying on the cross.
That's sick, dude. Wow, that's so fire.
And we would have like vacation things, and I had vacation Bible schools and stuff that we would actually do in our house. My mom would do it. Then later on during high school and stuff in school, I was outspoken about my faith a lot.
And, that's amazing.
Like I would put on, if nobody was putting on See You at the Pole, do you remember that at all? Do you ever
like hear a about prayer around the school?
Yeah, around the flagpole.
Yeah, what was that? I don't know. I wasn't really like I don't know if I was like all the way Christian like that. Like I said, I just started getting into Jesus around like, high school times and stuff. What was that? I've seen it. I don't know if I ever joined, but what was that about?
I was just a once a year kind of like prayer rally for the students of the schools. It was like nationwide.
Ooh.
And it was like one time a year. And I'm not sure if they're still doing it. They might be. If nobody was actually trying to set that up, that was me.
That's so dope.
Administrating it. But I got made fun of because of my faith. And
that's amazing, dog. I love that. See, I was too scared when I first started to get to know Jesus and I was still going to school. Like I was kind of about it, but I was still scared, you know, because I was so new, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And like my mom, she's always had something for me. Like God told her to pray for the mantle for me. And she was like, she didn't know what that meant. And so with things that lately that I've been doing and before, she feels like things are like, and especially for like preaching, because I haven't done anything like really. What has been happening, I would say, is like doing all this multimedia kind of stuff and stuff that I've been doing for the church, video wise and live streaming wise. I've since now stepping back out of that role, I feel that God is just doing a whole new thing inside me. And so with that, and I felt that kind of in a way that that media stuff was a, I don't know if you would say like a wall or a barrier kind of to have me to do what God has called me kind of to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I know if for there's a, there, he put me in a, he put me there for a season, but see, like, I feel that the things that I've seen from you has really inspired me, because now I myself am doing videos on Instagram and doing TikTok, and I've done, you know, this podcast as well
that's
too.
Awesome.
But
that's awesome. God's using it. God's using it, yeah. Man. I mean, it's wild, bro. It's God's using it, man. I mean, people can debate it all they want, but what happened when 2020 hit and everything was shut down? Everybody who wasn't doing church online began scrambling, looking for how can we go online? Yeah. You know what I mean? And churches do it. Churches do it, bro. And it's just wild, bro. It's like in 2022, there is a way to share Jesus online. And yeah. It's just reality, bro. Like, we could try to fight it or deny it, but we would just not be. And again, it comes down to God's will. Cause like,
yeah,
I don't know if God's calling you to do that. And like, you feel like you can do it. I don't know. It's a long conversation, but you can share Jesus online. You know what I'm saying? You can share Jesus online to whatever extent, whatever it is, just being genuine or if God gives you something to say, if there's something that God helps you with and you feel like it'll help other people. Because I don't know how many times I've seen things online that encouraged me and helped me, you know? And so, yeah, it's just definitely like almost like a mission field.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You know?
Sweet. Yeah. You got anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to say this. Everybody go check out Sacred Music Tribe's new project. It's called God's Kids Lit. It's available on all digital platforms. And it's just a collection of songs that we did for over the past year. God's Kids Lit. Go check us out on YouTube, Sacred Music Tribe, if you want. If you care to, you can. If you don't, that's okay. I still love you. Appreciate you for tapping in with me and Mike. You guys keep listening to his podcast. Nice. We love you guys. And we appreciate everybody for listening. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And you're not hearing this by coincidence. If you stuck around this long or you're just hearing this part, I want to let you know that God formed you before you were in your mother's womb. That he knew where and when you would come out into the physical realm. And he knew when you would cross this message of a random dude on the internet telling you Jesus loves you. And he died to forgive you of all your sins. He died to be your one-way ticket to heaven. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person, because we've all fallen short. We've all fallen short, and we all have different things that we deal with and struggle with. But Jesus died on that cross about 2052 years ago, because he was born about 2022 years ago. That's why they call it 2022. For you, because he wanted you to hear this message coming through my voice to say, I love you, my child. I died for your sins. I died to set you free and give you eternity and let you know you have purpose on this earth. You're not going to understand it all, and that's what faith is. You come in and you feel God's love, and you sense God's love, and you say, you know what, I'm going to trust this God. And so if you're watching this and you feel like you want to trust God with your life, we just encourage you to say a prayer by faith, confessing that Jesus is Lord. And if that's you, I'll lead you in a prayer right now, if you want to follow me in this prayer, to just accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if that's you, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Let's go ahead and pray.
Yeah.
Say, dear Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I believe
I believe
that you sent Jesus.
That you sent Jesus.
To die for me.
To die for me.
I receive you.
I receive you.
As Lord and Savior.
As Lord and Savior.
Over my life.
Over my life.
In this moment.
In this moment.
I believe you're forgiving my sins.
I believe that you're forgiving my sins.
And you're setting me free.
And you're setting me free.
And you're giving me heaven.
And you're giving me heaven.
Have your way in my life.
Have your way in my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so if you said that prayer, we just believe that you just received the free gift of salvation. If you confess with your heart and believe with your mouth that God is Lord, that you have been reborn and you have just been welcomed into God's family, I encourage you to find a church. I encourage you to seek out some Christian content. I encourage you to link up with some Christian people so you can walk the life that God has for you. And so, man, my bro Mike, I appreciate you, bro. Man, thanks for having me. This has been fire, bro. I wasn't sure
what to expect.
I'm glad we finally got it in, bro.
Exactly. I love it. It's awesome, bro. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being on here, bro. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Same, dog. Same, bro. Yeah, man. I look forward to seeing it. Maybe let me know when it pops out. And, man, maybe sometime in the future we can get on again and do another podcast or what have you.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Cool.
Definitely. Cool, man.
Same, dog. I appreciate you too, my bro, man. I fall of this sin, but I tell myself it's okay. My heartbeat's running to the beat of my feet.